9 or 10 verses there. We'll read it in a second. Let's pray one more time. We'll go to the Word today. Jesus, we thank you for your presence and your anointing that's here. God, I pray that you would continue to work for your Word today. God, I pray that you would speak to us. God, I pray that you would draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, God, let your will be done, I pray, in the rest of the service. And we give you all the praise and glory. You are worthy, God. There is no one like you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome to be seated, I guess. So we're going to read verse. I haven't read verse at the beginning lately. Going old school. Luke 19, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have any, or if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also the son of Abraham." I'm just going to preach for a few minutes, I guess, on the title, which you can read. Hopefully you know this word. And I'm really good at making titles. This is a good one. As is normal with anything I preach, it may take a while to get there, but hopefully it makes sense in the end. Before we get started, I know this is why you all came this morning. We're going to have a little English lesson, and I can see you're all excited about it. One of my favorite classes in school was English, and I liked art, but I didn't like math, as I've told you before. Numbers, they just go in and go out, and sometimes they get mixed up in the middle of my brain. There's too many rules, I think, for math, for me. You can predict what's going to happen, same with science. A lot of rules, so I like being able to be creative or something, make something. I know there are rules with English, but anyways, I thought I was a rebel. Now I've calmed down in my rebellion. But don't tune me out yet. So, get to the boring part, and then we'll get to the preaching. Coordinating conjunctions are part of the English language. Also called coordinators are conjunctions that join or coordinate two or more items or words or clauses or sentences of equal syntactic importance. So here are some examples of coordinating conjunctions in English and what they do. The word for, that is one of those. It presents rationale, or as an example, they read and they write for, they are educated. It connects these two thoughts. It presents a rationale between or behind them. Nor presents a non-contrasting negative idea. They do not read, nor do they write. So two negative things together. But presents a contrast or exception. You know, when you say something nice, but you're doing a good job, but you never want to hear that. But I'm saying it. They can see, but they do not read. So two different things. They're opposite, but they're fine on their own. Or presents an alternative item or idea. Every day they read or they write. So there's two things that happen. Different. Yet presents a contrast or exception. So something that hasn't happened they can see yet they don't read, or the exception to the rule. Then we got so, which presents a consequence. You know this one. We all like consequences. He wrote it, so I read it. So this, you're all excited. We'll get to the last one. And presents non-contrasting items or ideas. They read and they write. So it connects things together. Merriam-Webster, the famous dictionary writer, says that and is used as a function word to indicate connection or addition, especially of items within the same class or type, used to join sentence elements of the same grammatical rank or function. All right, you guys are all bored, I can tell. Basically, the word and is a word that connects two or more words or thoughts. That's what we need to know. That's what it does. On their own, these words or thoughts are totally fine, and they are complete on their own. I can read and I can write are two complete thoughts and totally fine on their own. But you put the and in the middle, which is very hard to do without, it's very hard to say without putting and in there for me. But it connects the two thoughts and it keeps the story going. Do you understand what I'm saying? And. I know you didn't come to church for an English lesson, especially after the time change and our brains are all confused as it is. But here we are, an English lesson. So I'm going to read our opening text again and let me know if anything stands out to you. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You notice anything? And when he saw it, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also a son of Abraham. You notice something with that story? Every single verse begins with the word and. And if you take that word out, they are all complete sentences and complete thoughts. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. That's a complete thought. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured. That's a good one. We'll get there later. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, all these things. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. These are all complete thoughts, complete sentences on their own without the word and. You take one sentence out by itself and it makes sense. And the word and ties them all together. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Jesus said unto him, today is salvation come to this house. These are all complete thoughts. These are all complete sentences. You can take one out on its own and it stands by itself. But the word and connects them all together. It makes it one continuous story. So we're going to look at this story together with that in mind. Luke, you haven't heard this verse yet today. Luke 1:19, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Cool. Jericho was an important city in history. It's an important city today. It's the first city that God gave Israel when they came out of the wilderness. It represents a time in Israel's history when God began to fulfill this promise to them. And Jericho was a big deal. They took it without any weapons. They marched around the city. You may be familiar with this story. Later on, a king named Eglon from Moab would come, and he would conquer Jericho, or the city of palm trees, and take it for 18 years until a left-handed man named Ehud would take it back. It's an important city, and Jesus passes through that. That's a good thing. Verse 2, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Oh, the story continues. I'm a little sarcastic today, so I'm going to give a warning. So according to the story, there was a man who apparently lived there. Zacchaeus was his name. Awesome. He was a big deal in Jericho. He had lots of money. He was a rich guy. He worked for the government. One of those types. Ever popular among the people. The ones that everyone liked. Or he is probably disliked a little bit. Usually how it goes. Verse 3, it says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Oh, there's more to the story. And so Zacchaeus, he wants to see Jesus. Obviously, this is a Bible story, and it's a story about Jesus, so he's going to come along at some point in the Gospels. That's how it works, if you read them. He wants to see who he was. He wants to see who Jesus was. Zacchaeus has probably heard some stories about Jesus. His fame was spread about the land, and there were rumors going around. He knew some things, no doubt, about this Jesus, and he wanted to see if it was true. Sometimes we're like that. We come to church to hear or to see if this thing is real. Maybe that's why most of us came in the first place. Maybe some are here today. I don't know. I know you're here today. Maybe that's the reason. Hear about God, or we hear stories about Jesus. We hear stories about miracles, lives being changed. And maybe we come and we want to check it out. That's usually how we get here in the first place. A few years ago, you know, I went to Ghana and we did some crusades in a place called Efodawase. It's a fun place to say. And we just had services all day. And I don't know how much promotion they did for passing out invitations or whatever, but they stacked the speakers quite high, and they cranked those things, and they were so loud and almost distorted how loud they went. They pushed those speakers to the limit, and it was pretty loud. You could hear it all the way down the street, the whole area. You could hear the preaching, you could hear the singing, you could hear the music. And the last day, we met a guy who had been listening in his house the entire crusade, and he was like, well, this last service, I'll come. He finally came, and it started with him hearing something. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. And no doubt Zacchaeus, he's heard some stories about Jesus. And now Zacchaeus, he wants to see who he was. That's a good start. But there's a plot twist here. He can't. Because our boy Zacchaeus is small of stature, not short. How dare you? The Bible says small of stature. There's too many people as well. There's a too big of a crowd. That's the worst. When you go to see something, there's people. I hate that. People everywhere. I don't know if you've ever been in a crowd like that. Maybe you go to a parade or an exhibition or something. You want to see something. There's people in the way. They do that. Everybody wants to see the same things. You got people putting their kids up on their shoulders so they can see. Most of us aren't the height of a person and a child. So it's hard to see sometimes. And Zacchaeus was small of stature, and he couldn't see because there was people, and he was vertically challenged. Small of stature is a King James for short. He was too short. You were right. It's a rough life being short sometimes. Sometimes it's hard for people that are with short people. My wife is also small of stature. You may have noticed. There are times I've lost her in the stores. They put racks just Trisha height. sometimes. It's like we got children. It's hard enough keeping track of them, and then you got losing my wife in the store. It's terrible. Sometimes I think just, you know, no, I don't. We'll just get a new start here. No. I find them. It's a struggle for those that are small of stature among us and for their loved ones at times. And so this is where Zacchaeus is at, and that's fine. But the Bible, going back, continues the story. It says he ran before. So Zacchaeus, he's lived with this his whole life. He knows how it works. And so he goes before and he climbs up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was to pass that way. Oh, so there's still more. The story continues. And Zacchaeus, he's a smart guy. He sees which way Jesus and the crowd is going. I assume they're going down the main road. When you pass through a town, you know, we go through Middleton. We just go down the road, the main road. We don't make detours normally. There's not much to make detours on, but you know, I assume they're going down the main road, and Zacchaeus, he's a smart guy, and he gets ahead of the crowd. And the story does say that Jesus is passing through, so that's probably what he's doing, going down the main stretch through town. And so he runs ahead, Zacchaeus, and he climbs up a tree to see. It wasn't enough just to hear Jesus go by. He'd heard stuff already, no doubt. He needed a little bit more. He wanted to see who this Jesus was, and Jesus was close. He'd never been closer to Zacchaeus than now, and he wanted to see who he was. He wanted to know him, and he wanted to know so much. He was willing to look a little bit foolish. And I don't know if we fully appreciate this bit of the story. When was the last time you saw a grown man climb a tree for fun? To see something. When's the last time you went downtown and some guy climbed up one of the light poles to see what was happening on the street? No? Never happened? You know, when we're not lost in the woods trying to find our way home, we're picking something out of the tree or trying to, I don't know, get a cat or something out. I don't know. You don't often see fully grown men climbing trees to see things, especially in public. This is my thinking here. I'm just trying to figure Zacchaeus out. But if we look at Zacchaeus and how he behaved, there's a thing that they use to describe people of Zacchaeus' size. There's a syndrome they attach to short men that take it to heart. It's getting real awkward. I'm sure we can all think of someone who's shorter than us that has a chip on their shoulder because of it. They've been picked on their whole lives and they've been bullied, and so they get a bit of a chip on their shoulder. Some guys, they hit the gym. I'm gonna be strong. If I can't be tall, I'm gonna be whatever. They do that. Some guys end up being bullies. Some guys end up picking on others and fighting over whatever. You know. In school, I wasn't the shortest, but I was the second shortest. We're often fights, defending ourselves, me and the other guy. That's what happens sometimes with the way people are. And Zacchaeus, if you look at him, he's taken this position that people normally wouldn't. He's taken a position of power, and he's abused this power. No doubt this has some effect on Zacchaeus and his mentality, and he's probably struggled with this growing up. He's bullied people into giving him more money than needed. He's taken advantage of it. Maybe it was over the same people that teased him or picked on him growing up. I'm not really sure. Just kind of trying to figure him out here. But Zacchaeus, he is so hungry. He's so willing to see Jesus that he puts all this aside. By climbing this tree, Zacchaeus, I know everyone else knows that he's small of stature, but climbing this tree, he is admitting that he's not tall enough or big enough. He's admitting that he can't do it by himself. He's admitting that getting to see who Jesus was more important than anything else right then. It was more important than his reputation among the town. You know, he was He was feared. People didn't want Zacchaeus to come by. He was going to take their money. There was nothing they could do about it. You know, he had this power in the town. He had this position. He had some respect from others. He had some authority, but he didn't care. It was more important to him to see who Jesus was. He didn't care at this moment how people looked at him, who saw him up in the tree, what they thought of a grown man in a position of authority in the city, climbing a tree to see over the crowd. Zacchaeus did not care. He wanted to know who Jesus was. And we all have things that we are ashamed of or embarrassed of, things about us that we don't like, short tempers, attitudes, personalities, habits, personas, things that make us who we are. We all have ways that we present ourselves publicly. You know, he's a strong, silent type, or I don't know. I don't want to get into the negative ones. But we all have reputations among the town, among the church, among our families, among people we are around. And, you know, some people are good singers, musicians. Some people have the reputation to have it all together and just be composed and professional. I know it's not me. Some people have the reputation to be smart or tough but fair. Whatever. We all got different reputations. But in order for us to get to know Jesus, who he is, in order for us to get into his presence, we need to be willing to put all that stuff aside. It doesn't matter what people say, what people think about me, what people see in me. I need to know him. And this is where Zacchaeus was. I may be quiet, but when I worship, I'm not going to be quiet. I may be opinionated and pig-headed, but when I get into his presence, I'm going to listen to what he has to say, and I'm going to obey the word of God. I may be loud and boisterous and tough, but when the presence of God sweeps in, I may shed a tear. I may cry. I may weep in his presence. We need to be willing to push ourselves to the side and not worry about what other people think or say or see in us. It's not about us in this moment. It's about Jesus. It's about knowing who he is. It's about drawing closer to him. And Zacchaeus was two things. He was short and he was a bully. And he forced people to give him money. And he was willing to put both of these things aside to see, to find out who Jesus was. Because once he climbed that tree, no one was afraid of Zacchaeus anymore. You're going to be afraid of the guy that's climbing a tree to see over the crowd. All that respect, all that authority, all that power he had over you, that's gone. You know, you're not going to... Anyways, maybe you would be, I don't know. If I see a guy climbing a tree to see over a crowd, and then he comes to my house the next day asking for money, I'm not taking him very seriously anymore. That's how, I don't know. I imagine it was in those days. Verse 5, it says, the story continues, when Jesus came to the place and looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And so what happens? Jesus sees what Zacchaeus does. He sees that, for lack of a better word, that sacrifice he makes, and he honors it with another and. The story continues. When we put who we are and our reputation to the side and we focus on who Jesus is, he will honor that every single time. We need to get ourselves out of the way. There's only one throne. There's only one who sits on the throne. And I hate to hurt your feelings, but it's not you and it's not me. When we're willing to put ourselves and get ourselves out of the way, that's when Jesus can step in, and that's when Jesus can speak and minister and move and heal and deliver and change our lives. But it's not going to happen until we do. Jesus said in Mark 2:17, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He didn't come for people who have it all together. He's not looking for people who've got it all figured out and got everything put in the right place and that are perfect. He's looking for people who will admit who they are and where they are and admit that they need him. And when we do that, God is going to move in and God is going to work and God is going to do what he is going to do. And Jesus calls Zacchaeus down. He tells him that he's going to go to his house today. Were there people in Jericho who were more loving than Zacchaeus? No doubt. Were there people in Jericho who were treating each other better than Zacchaeus treated his neighbors? Probably. Were there more religious guys in Jericho? You bet it. Were there Jerichoans, or whatever they're called, who had it all together more than Zacchaeus? Probably. But whose house did Jesus go to? Zacchaeus's. It doesn't matter what we look like on the outside to the outsiders until we're willing to humble ourselves and get into his presence. We're not going to have a move of God in our lives. I know, you know, growing up in our church in St. John, we had doctors going to our church. We had contractors. We had big wigs and Irving Oil Company making lots of money. And as far as the world was concerned, they were well off and well to do. And we had me slugging away at McDonald's. But when we came to church, none of that mattered. We worshiped together just like everyone else. They were broken just like everyone else. Money and position, power were not the answer. Zacchaeus had all of that. But being in the presence of Jesus was the most important thing. And it is still the most important thing. And the story would be fine there. But verse 6 says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. It continues on. There's more. Zacchaeus quickly comes down and he receives Jesus joyfully. He happily takes him to his house. He gladly welcomes him. Now, some of us, we would have said, hold on, Jesus. Give me a few minutes. I got to get some things tidied up first. We had a day today. It was a struggle getting everyone out the door. The house is a mess. The dishes aren't done. They're piled up waiting for us. I got to get everything tidied up before you come over. Nobody like that? No. Sometimes Jesus wants to come in and move, but we don't want him to because we're afraid he's going to see everything we've got. Zacchaeus receives him joyfully. He's not worried about what Jesus is going to think about his house. I don't know how well they kept their houses in those days. Maybe Zacchaeus had it all tidied up and whatever. I don't know. But Jesus wants to come in and work and move. And we sometimes go, no, hold on. I don't want you to see all this stuff. I don't want you to, you know, we need to receive him joyfully like Zacchaeus did and put our pride and our maybe our weaknesses and all these things to the side and get his attention and welcome him into our hearts, into our homes. And that, again, that there would be a good story. We could just finish that story there, and that's great. But it continues. There's another and. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. This is my favorite topic, murmuring. You know that. More. There's more to the story. People started talking. Surprise, surprise. That hardly ever happens. People never talk about you when you try to make life changes. When you're fasting, or you're going to quit smoking, or drinking, or swearing, or going to places you used to, or acting ways you used to, or maybe you step out of new places with God. Maybe you pray a little more. Maybe you come to church a little more. Maybe nobody ever talks about you when that sort of thing happens. When you take a step of faith, and maybe you're going to, and God used me in this way. Maybe you go on a missions trip or pray a little more, you study a little more. And nobody ever, hardly ever murmurs about that. Except every single time you do. Every time. I don't know if you noticed this, but you're never going to be able to do anything for Jesus without someone complaining and murmuring or gossiping. No matter what you do, somebody's going to have a problem with it. I'm going to step on some toes, but it wouldn't be a Sunday if we didn't. But who was murmuring? Who was complaining? Who was talking about Zacchaeus? The people who did not have Jesus in their house. The one whose house he wasn't going to. People who murmur and complain and see the negative in everything that you're trying to do for Jesus are the ones who aren't living right. They may look like it, they may sound like it, but they're the ones who aren't following him completely. They don't have Jesus in their house like they should. Zacchaeus was a sinner. We know that. He had faults, he had mistakes, he was not perfect. But he figured out how to get into the presence of Jesus, and the rest of them did not like it. People would rather complain and murmur about what you're trying to do with and for God than look in the mirror and see that they need to change themselves. Jesus said, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, 'Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye,' when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." There's a lot of these and thys and thous in there. We rather would look at someone else and find fault than look at ourselves. And this is what's happening in Jericho. But we'll move on, because that's not the point of this one. Verse 8 says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.'" And as soon as Zacchaeus gets into the presence of Jesus, he starts repenting. This is what he's doing here. He starts pouring everything out. Jesus gets close to Zacchaeus and he just starts, "Oh, I've done this." And he didn't ask him any of this stuff. It just starts coming out. He just starts letting all these things go, and he vows to make it right. There's nothing that time in the presence of Jesus won't fix. All we need to do is get into his presence, and anything can happen. That's why we praise. That's why we pray. That's why we worship. That is an important thing, because it changes our mindset. It changes the atmosphere. It changes what's going on. And Jesus starts working as soon as we get into his presence. Zacchaeus, he was a filthy sinner. And as soon as Jesus starts talking to him, he's like, well, I've done all these things. I'm going to make all these things right. And you're going to come into my house and we're going to do all this. We're going to get this all straightened out. As soon as he gets into his presence, he starts repenting. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also a son of Abraham." In verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost," which was lost. And when Zacchaeus starts repenting and he starts pouring out this stuff, Jesus changes his life. He said he came to seek and to save the lost, not people who think they are found. He came to touch and to save and to call people who will admit they need him. And every time it looked like Zacchaeus' story was over, we could have stopped it at any time. There was another "and." Jesus came to Jericho, and there was a guy named Zacchaeus, and he wanted to see Jesus, but he was short. And he climbed a tree, and Jesus came and said, "I want to go to your house." And Zacchaeus received him joyfully, and people murmured, and Zacchaeus repented, and Jesus forgave him, and salvation came to his house. Every time it looked like the story was over, there was an "and." It was too short, but there was an "and." It looked hopeless, but "and." People were gossiping and murmuring, but "and." There is an "and" for you today. He's not done with you yet. Your story is not over yet. And things may look bleak, and they may look tired or dark, and may look a little bit rough at the moment, but there's an "and." Your story is not done. It does not have to end. Jesus would like to add to it today. He would like to give you more, to take you a little bit further, to show you more, and to lead you somewhere new. He's not done yet. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, how much of a sinner you are, how holy you think you are, how old you are, how young you are. There's an "and" for you today. I backslid and he brought me home. I failed and he restored me. I sinned and he forgave me. I prayed and he answered. My family was a mess and he showed up. I didn't know what to do or where to turn and he showed me. I was sick and he healed me. I was bound and he delivered me. I was lost and he found me. I was hurt, and he eased my pain. I was bitter, and he gave me joy. I was lonely, and he became my friend. I blew it, and he gave me another chance. I cried out, and he heard me. I was heartbroken, and he bound my broken heart. I was betrayed, and he came, and he never left me. I was disappointed, and he encouraged me. I was blind, and he gave me sight. I was down and out, and he lifted me up. I was dirty, and he cleaned me. I was unlovable, and yet he loved me. I was depressed, and he delivered me. Your story doesn't need to end where you are today. There is more to it. He has more for you, and he wants to add to your story. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is writing your story. He's still writing it, and he's not finished yet. It's still going. If you're in a mess, there's an end. If you're hurt and you don't know where to turn, there's an end. If your kids are backslidden, there's an end. If your life is upside down, if you're in a storm, if you're confused, there's an end to your story. Wherever you're at in your story, Jesus has an end for you. Matthew 9:35, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. If you need healing, there's an end. If you need the Holy Ghost today, Acts 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This one all begins with an and too. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And there they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. If you've been away from God for a while and maybe you aren't where you need to be, Luke 15 and 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. No matter where you are at in your story today, it's not over. He's still writing, and he is the author and the finisher. We can come to him today. He has what we need. You're not even supposed to start a sentence with the word and. But yet over and over you find in the Bible verses beginning with and. Repeatedly, just when you think it's over, God continues the story. He writes how he wants to write. It may look like it's over. The world may have put a period, a punctuation mark at the end, but Jesus says, no, I'm going to continue this story. And there's an and he adds to it. Just when you think it's over, God continues. And he's still writing your story. It's not over. As long as you're breathing, the story is still being written. We need to be like Zacchaeus. Be willing to put everything to the side and get into his presence. He wants to add to our story today. He wants to save, he wants to love and heal and deliver, lift us up, move in our lives and clean. He wants to add to our story, but we need to get ourselves into his presence. And I'm done this morning. I wonder if we could take some time and pray. He's not done with us yet. I'm going to open the altar. If you want to come, we'll pray with you. If you want to pray in your seat, that's fine. Let's pray today. He's not done with us. There's more to the story. He's writing our story. It may look like it's over, but it's not. Hallelujah. The altar's open. If you want to come and pray, we can pray. If you want to pray in your seat, we'll pray with you. Let's get in his presence today and let him work. Hallelujah. Jesus' name.